Hey, Trojan fans, it's time to get into the huddle with the Peristyle Podcast. The Peristyle Podcast is your weekly ticket to USC football and recruiting news. Don't forget, you can download the podcast 24/7 at our website, peristylepodcast.com. And now, here's the host of the Peristyle Podcast, USCFootball.com publisher, Ryan Abraham.
Hello, Trojan fans. Welcome to the Peristyle Podcast on a Thursday. We've got a really special show. We've been trying to get USC-involved people on the podcast at least once a week or so. And we got a couple guys I think you're going to really enjoy hearing from different backgrounds, but they know each other. Peninsula High School grads.
Yeah.
We got Petros Papadakis, or Papadakis. Which would you like
to say?
With the first time?
No, Petros, both of them are fine.
Yeah, we use it both. Like, so. You guys know Petros Papadakis. He says he's the captain of the worst football team in USC history.
Back starting to test me, aren't they? No.
Well done, Petros. And Alan Sanford is here. So he is a South Bay, what do we say, legend?
Petros? I would say he's a conglomerate.
Yeah, very huge into the music scene here in Southern California. If you've been to Hermosa Beach, those concerts on Sundays that were always free, Alan was behind all of those. St. Rock, which is right near my house. Love going there. Rockefeller. He's behind those two restaurants here. And he's livelist.com. But they have a huge event coming up, the Beach Life Festival, May 3rd through May 5th. We're going to talk to Alan about that. Thanks for coming to the studio, Alan.
Thanks for having me.
You're coming from a USC family, and obviously
he went to Santa Clara. He played baseball in Santa Clara like Mike Pereira.
That's SC.
They call it the other SC.
I thought that was South Carolina.
Santa Clara is like, what is it? Santa Clara U, like SCU?
Santa Clara University, West Coast Conference.
He's one of the few people that I visited in college while he was in college playing baseball at Santa Clara. We drove up to Santa Clara and visited Alan Sanford and all his friends.
Nice.
It was a very exciting weekend in my life. It was a garage party. Was there a live band?
There was bands. That was
our band. Yeah, he's always been organizing big parties ever since I've been a young person.
So for Petros, you can follow him on Twitter at the old P, or of course Petros and Money. He's part of the Petros and Money show.
I run that Twitter too.
You run both of them?
I should give that one up, right?
Is it?
We have a person at the station that does it, but I still run the show Twitter.
I thought like Money was doing that for more.
No,
that,
Money does it at Money, Matt Money Smith. Okay. He's got like 120,000 fantasy football followers that he has to deal with.
He's got a lot of jobs, right?
Yeah. He's got more than me. I used to have more than him, and now he's lapping me.
It's funny. I remember him from K-Rock. They got to do a documentary on K-Rock, how crazy that's been. You've done K-Rock stuff and stuff too.
Yeah.
But I started listening to the huge podcast, the Adam Carolla podcast, because Ball Bryan's a big USC guy. He's like the sidekick. He came in studio and we had a lot of fun with him. And I started listening to shows like, man, like Carson Daly and, you know, Jimmy Kimmel and all these guys, Matt Money Smith. So many people came from K-Rock.
Yeah, they all came through Kevin and Bean too, which is interesting. And a lot of the music, you know, in the Beach Life Fest came from K-Rock. That's not the first place I heard Slightly Stupid, who's playing the show, was on, was at Alan's bar that he used to run. Alan is very much responsible for what Hermosa Beach is. Whether you feel that good about that or not. I remember Patrick Malloy's is when it all started, and that was Alan's first. That was your first like dip into management, right?
That was back in the day. Yeah, I got the keys to a bar. I was 21.
Yeah, and we saw Slightly Stupid there, and they're playing this show, which is crazy because they do a bunch of big festivals. And then I heard him on K-Rock, different stuff like that. So bands and talent, mostly globally, you know, starts at K-Rock, which is pretty interesting, and comes a lot through the South Bay, which is kind of an interesting vein. Because when you think about K-Rock, especially in the 80s, you know, you think about Burbank or Pasadena.
Right.
But a lot of the music, you know, Pennywise and Black Flag and all the little stuff that maybe influenced a lot of the music that was on K-Rock or was just on K-Rock, sometimes late at night, came from Hermosa Beach.
Which is crazy. Yeah, Pennywise is one of the big ones. They have a big mural, I think, on the one of the...
That was new. I didn't see that. I don't go to Hermosa much anymore because, you know, everybody's from out of town there. But that was that was new. When did that go up? Did you paint that?
No. It went up a few months ago.
Yeah.
I took a picture and put it on Instagram. Yeah. I was so shocked.
So you can follow Alan at A... S-A-N-F-Y-A, Sanfi. So like we said, co-founder of liveless.com. If you have a favorite band, you know, Petros likes kind of strange bands or off of the beaten path bands, you can find wherever they are streaming on Alan's site, Liveless. So it's pretty cool. But the thing we wanted to talk about, and my wife was extremely excited for this. So when Petros texted me, it's like, hey, I want you to meet Alan. She's like, yes, you got to do this. I'm like, okay, because she really wants to go to this. So at the Seaside Lagoon, you can go to beachlifefestival.com. So here's some of the names that are going to be performing there over the 3 days. Willie Nelson, Brian Wilson, Jason Mraz, Ziggy Marley for Petros, Violent Femmes, Dawes, who I didn't really know. My wife saw them in Nashville and she freaking loved it. And I've been listening to it and it's a pretty cool band. But like the Violent Femmes, like I've talked about, Blues Traveler, Everclear, Sugar Ray, Berlin. I love the 80s stuff. I mean, it's a really kind of eclectic mix of music there.
Super eclectic mix. And when we got together, it was we all had a bunch of beers and just talked about cool bands that you listen to on the beach. And that really was forming the lineup for the beach life was, would you go to the beach? Would you surf? Would you hang out and drink some beers and listen to this band? And it's kind of the perfect soundtrack.
It's crazy because it doesn't seem like when you say all those names, and there's more that are like Best Coast.
You know? More that you would know.
And there's a lot of them that are just Bruce Hornsby is playing. You know, Colin Hay from Men at Work. You know, guys like that, and it's like it's all music that somehow fits together through the beach, and not just through any beach. You know, it can't be Imperial Beach in San Diego or something. You know, through the beaches here. You know, it's all music that growing up, and Alan and I are the exact same age. We are both in the charter class at Peninsula, and I was not there drinking beers with him, talking about what music. I've never booked a band in my life, and I have no part in the booking of any of these bands. But, you know, bands like Steel Pulse and Bruce Hornsby or, you know, guys like that, or Willie Nelson doing a reggae song, you know, they only fit together, you know, on the beach in the South Bay in a lot of weird ways. So to bring it together in a concert is a really brilliant idea. And it's funny because there's so many different demographics of people that are interested in it and that want to be part of it. And I think that's a good thing about the South Bay because, you know, you do have a lot of old and young people together, you know, except for Hermosa Beach at 1 o'clock in the morning on a Thursday.
You always bag on our little town of Hermosa. I've lived there 21 years now. It's crazy. Like,
yeah,
it's been forever.
Yeah, still.
It's the same spot.
It was the Either Or bookstore. Here's my.
It was here, yeah.
Okay, all right. Then you're all right. If you got it under
the one. Is that your indicator?
That's if you know, if you knew the Either Or bookstore. If the Either Or bookstore was there while you were there, or if you saw a movie at the Bijou.
Oh, I saw Apollo 13 at the Bijou.
All right, see? Yeah. Oh, you're good, Ryan. You're fine. You know, if you bought some docks at the Restyle, you get a bonus there when it was in the Bijou, you know, Hermosa has changed a lot. There's no doubt, but I'm softening to a lot of the things that I used to be serrated about. Yeah.
Alan, so 10 years you have done, if people have come down, we've had a lot of friends come from out of town or whatever. They want to come to the beach concerts. Apparently that's ending. Is this Life Festival, is this kind of taking over for that for you? Or
It was a pretty natural transition. I was doing those concerts for a decade. I got asked to do them in, 10 years ago by the city when things weren't so good with the economy. And I was a young kid that was just passionate about doing music. And I had a decade-long kind of relationship that came just to a kind of a natural end in some transition of discussion. So the beach life in Redondo Beach had been looking for something to really plant their flag with, and it just made sense to go down there and do something bigger that could build off of that decade-long experience of putting music on the beach. So music on the beach is a super simple recipe. It's about as fun as it gets, and transitioning down to Redondo enabled us to make it a business.
Yeah, it's a really cool area, and to see all these people, I'm curious to see, because every kind of they have events down there. They've had like lobster festivals and stuff. All these people kind of come from all over the place. I got a feeling like there's going to be, because if you're not from LA, you live in, you know, Hollywood, like you never come to Hermosa Beach, or if you're living, you know, there's
you've been here a long time. I mean, has there ever been anything like this ever at the beach? I mean, we have a couple volleyball tournaments that people get excited about, and we have the 4th of July, but I don't, this got to be the biggest. I've never heard of a Willie Nelson show on the beach. And,
no.
And, you know, I mean, that's never happened. I mean, we used to have Miles Davis at the Lighthouse.
Yeah.
You know, there'd be like a line of 50 dudes in the 80s, you know, before he died. But this has got to be the biggest thing that we've ever had in the South Bay.
I would think so, because there's been small, cool events. Like, I mean, the Comedy and Magic Club is great because you get, you know, big names coming through there. You mentioned the Lighthouse, which was featured on La La Land. And back in the 50s, like, That was like the premier place for jazz, like for LA jazz. The musicians would come through LA, you would play the Lighthouse. So we've had like small things in the South Bay, but something big like this. I don't know, maybe the concerts on Sunday night were pretty big, but this is going to be, you know, obviously a lot bigger.
Yeah, the concerts got way bigger than anybody thought they would, and they started to reach mass. And then you realize that everybody down here loves music, which just makes no sense that there's not more music and art down here. So
yeah.
Petros is right. There's actually no festivals in Los Angeles, if you think about it. Nobody's been able to get permits for any type of land, so all the festivals are outside the basin. And it just seems so natural that L.A. would have its own thing.
Yeah.
It's like a no-brainer.
I just don't know how a guy, you know, that I went – it's hard for me to wrap my head around a guy I went to high school with, you know, calling Willie Nelson or knowing how to get in touch – you know, with Bob Weir and be like, Bob, we got this great idea. Could you come down, you know, or how you go about, you know, doing that? It's a little by me, but it's exciting. You know, I'm assuming all these people are going to show up. You know, there's billboards all over town and there's big pictures of them.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it's pretty darn exciting.
Is there any kind of just any worry, I guess, at all because of the huge, like, Fry Festival? Now, this isn't something like that, but because of
the Fire Fest?
The Fire Fest. Yeah, was it the Fire
Festival? I used to think it was Fry until I heard somebody say it.
Yeah, you're right. I've seen the documentary a couple of times, the Fire Festival. And I think that
nobody's staying overnight.
Yeah, they had the Ultra one down in Miami, and it was apparently like a wet well, but then no one could get off like the island. Yeah. So there's like little thing, you know, logistical problems with transportation or whatever, but you have to be like hyper vigilant. Otherwise, it's like the Fire Festival all over again.
Yeah, when that documentary came out, I must have got no joke 50 phone calls. You sure you want to do this? Sure that even my dad called me. Hey, man, you can back out of this if you want to. So
cheese sandwiches, you know, we're doing.
Yeah. Well, part of this thing is you dream and then you wake up. And I was with one of the artists the other day and he said, I just try to make sense of my daydreams. So this has just been literally a daydream. And if I'm guilty of anything, it's just sometimes the ambition gets the best of you where you just start making something happen and look at your studio. Next thing you know, you're doing full on productions and you didn't think you would. Same with the beach life. It was, let's throw a killer show. Who would be good artists? Fuck, Willie would be sick to have on the beach.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, Willie's playing on the beach. Oh, Bob Weir would be sick. Next thing you know, he's playing on the beach. So it's
like recruiting, right? You get one 5-star and the other 5 stars want to come.
That's pretty true, actually.
Is that like, it's like you get that kind of weird actor that's not that well known, dates like a supermodel, then the rest of the supermodels want to date.
Willie said he'd do it if you do it. Bob said he'd do it if you do it, Willie.
Awesome. So if you guys follow Petros and listen to him on his radio show, he's always, you know, bringing up different musical tastes. And you've really eclectic tastes, like, you know, unique music tastes, I would say. Did you guys kind of have that together when you were in high school? Or did you?
Well, Alan's kind of a musician. You know, Alan played the guitar and stuff like that. You know, I'm more of a collector. You know, I used to like to speak patois and sing reggae to people when I was a kid. But I ruined my voice screaming on the radio, so I don't do that so much.
You know what? You actually played with us in the band in college, now that I'm remembering. Yeah, when you
came
up,
that
you
weekend.
Would come up.
Yeah, we did a concert. Yeah, we did a concert with the band. I did some reggae tunes.
This guy knows way more about music and actually in certain genres. This guy's like an encyclopedia.
Yeah.
People don't know it.
Yeah. Well, we play music on the radio, you know, we post a playlist and that's become pretty popular. And I like going to concerts, but, you know, I'm like, Alan and I are in the same boat. You know, we have young kids and it's hard for me just to do the same things that I used to do. Want to go. I went to a show like maybe 3 weeks ago. It was the first time I went to a show in like 2 years.
Oh,
so, so it's been a while, but, I used to go to shows every single night. And most of the shows that I would want to go to are not like bigger shows. You know, I like to go to the Troubadour or, you know, the Echoplex or, you know, all those old places. Most of them have closed now. But I went to a new venue the other day out in Highland Park in that Masonic Lodge. And it was cool.
You know, that's killer.
Yeah. And I still enjoy that kind of thing. And I like this about this concert is, you know, we have bands that I would go see, you know, at the Troubadour, Best Coast, you know, Dawes, you'd go see at the Wiltern or something like that, with Willie Nelson, with Blues Traveler, you know, and that stuff is really cool. I mean, I watched, I haven't seen Steel Pulse in like 15, 20 years. And I watched a Steel Pulse video from last year where they were playing reggae on the river. And I was like, my God, they are still a great freaking band. You know what I mean? Yeah. Those guys they're a great reggae sound system of a band. And, you know, a lot of it is stuff we used to listen to in high school, you know, especially the Blues Traveler, the Steel Pulse, the Bob Weir, you know, there's a lot of Deadheads on the Hill.
Oh, nice.
There really are. So, I mean, it really does. It's a lot of great tie-ins for me musically. But I've always loved music. My parents, you know, my dad loved music. We played music in the restaurant every night. And a lot of
I miss the restaurant.
Yeah, a lot of people do. Not so much me.
Well, you work there.
Yeah, I don't have to bus tables every night.
I don't know if you remember, like, I think we talked about this before, but like when you graduated, I think I did your first like post, you know, out of school interview when you were going to like transition over there.
Was so I came, smoking a cigarette?
No, I came to the restaurant. No, we ate there. I came down to the restaurant while like I interviewed you in like one of the booths there and stuff. So it was pretty fun.
Was it bad?
No, it was great. I just want to say it kind of sparked your media. No, I'm just, I didn't.
Yeah, you did. Thank you. No, please, I appreciate it.
Please. No. Sugar Ray for USC Ties. Like it was funny. We were doing, I had my 25th anniversary, my 25th reunion from USC this past time. So I didn't work the Cal game. So I went to the reunion. I was on the committee to like recruit people to come to the reunion. So I got to be like a regular USC person instead of like a media person for a week, but like calling people. And we were trying to find like different celebrities that were, so I'm like, oh, we'll try to get the celebrities to come. So like Jacob and Ronnie, like, you know, 1-800 call Jacob, like he's in our class. Scott.
I know. Scott, he sponsors a radio show
there
before.
You go. Yeah, celebrity.
Scott Gimple, if you watch The Walking Dead, like he's the executive producer for The Walking Dead. He never responded to me, but I tried to get him. But there's some people like that. And then,
I'm glad. I like how you mentioned that. And then he didn't call.
I think we only had like an address. So I had to like write a letter to him, like snail mail. So I did some snail mail for this. But Sugar Ray, someone said, I think Sugar Ray's in your class. And then I like tweeted at him. He like responded to me. But he was like a couple years before.
McGrath, he's a nice guy.
Yeah, he is a nice guy.
He seems like a really cool,
great dude.
Dude, yeah, Mark McGrath. You know, the
is Supercat coming?
Supercat.
No. He does that. You know, Supercat's the reggae star who's in the big Sugar Ray first hit. You know.
Oh, okay.
I Just Want to Fly, and that guy that goes, I want, that's Supercat.
Oh, okay.
And I imagine they just push a button now. And his voice comes out of a machine. Hard to get that guy a visa.
Alan, you got to make a call or two. You gotta,
right.
Hey, they got Ziggy Marley, you know, like you mentioned. And like, I've seen Ziggy Marley. And when Ziggy Marley performs, you can close your eyes and it, you know, it's special. You know, especially when he does, you know, some of the older songs. And not just his dad's songs. He's doing some special.
He's doing some of his mom's songs, some Rita Marley songs.
Yeah, and Rita Marley's got a great song book. You know, songs like One Draw and King Street and the stuff she did with the Solats. I mean, there's a lot of really interesting music. And there's something for everybody. You know, people that just want to, like, really festival out and geek it. And, you know, for people that are really deep into, like, eclectic stuff like me. Like, I love the Violent Femmes. I mean, I went to high school in the 90s. My God.
Yeah.
Everybody loves the Violent Femmes.
We were at a wedding and they had a DJ for part of the wedding. Who was the guy? Now I'm blanking on his name. For K-Rock, he was like
Richard Blade.
Richard Blade.
The only guy whose accent's gotten thicker and thicker every year while being in.
He was like the nicest dude. And
he is very. He wrote a book. He just came out with a book.
Oh, okay.
K-Rock, yeah. Somebody wrote that book already. We screwed up. Damn it.
So it was about like the history of K-Rock.
My own history, Richard Blige.
Yeah, he was great. I love 80s music still.
Pirate.
It was funny to hear him like DJ like in a little small room and like play the.
Oh, he doesn't, dude. He doesn't care. Richard Blige is available for everybody at all times.
That was good stuff.
He's very honest too. If today with the Me Too movement, we'd all be in jail, mate. Thanks, Richard. He's pretty good.
That's awesome. Okay, so the website is beachlifefestival.com. You get all the information there, all the bands we talked about.
You can buy all the tickets or some of the tickets.
And you can also watch it live for free if you can't make it. So oh, nice. It'll be and this is Petros is going to be hosting the live show, and this is kind of the the connection.
I don't think I knew that. All right.
So when I, you know, Liveless is all about live streaming.
We're still workshopping it.
Okay.
We're getting through it. We're going to get through some of it today, but the idea was that a lot of people around the world don't know and can't get to the beach live for whatever reason. So we're broadcasting it globally. We're expecting a few million people to watch, and I've always listened to his show, and he's just got a brilliant sense of personality on that show. And it was really a fun thought to bring over a guy from the sports world into the music world.
Yeah.
Right? That's got such an ample such a knowledge of music. So we're going to put Petros with all these musicians and put them all in a festival and see what happens live.
I did once host a live web show for Kiss at the Beverly Hills Hotel at 3 a.m. Selling coffins, Kiss coffins.
Wow.
I sat in makeup with Kiss.
Did you like makeup with Kiss?
No,
like,
no. It was like, just normal makeup. Oh, okay, but they were all there.
Okay.
Paul Stanley's a very kind man.
Very nice.
We couldn't get Kiss for Beach Life. It just didn't fit.
They own a couple restaurants here in the South Bay.
Do like, they really?
They franchise Rock and Brew.
Rock and Brew.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. That's Kiss. Yeah.
So I think they own the one in El Segundo. The one, there's like a volleyball dude that owns the one in like Redondo, but
Mike Zislis is behind all that stuff. He's partners with those guys. Kiss is, they're a fantastic band. I don't know if I would call them Beach Life.
Okay.
No, I would.
But I think
this is a transition for me from hair metal to something a little bit more soft.
Right?
Nice.
We can't do pyrotechnics, so.
Okay.
Next year we're getting White Lion. We're getting, right. Remember those bands?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Yeah, those.
White Lion, Snake.
Yeah, that would be like if it was Beach Life for junior high.
Yeah.
It'd be White Lion, White Snake, Guns N' Roses on the Lies EP.
Nice.
Stuff like that. Rat, oh, LA nice. Guns.
So are you going to be interviewing the like bands when they come through, or are you just like kind of comment? Like, how is that going to work? Are
I'm going to run around with a wireless probably and geek it up.
Awesome. Yeah, we have three we have areas all over the festival that are wired up, and so basically we'll be live streaming the bands, and then in between the bands we'll be grabbing artists and grabbing people out of the crowd
and chefs
making things happen. Yeah.
There's all kinds of bougie chefs too.
Yeah, if you're a foodie, this is a good place to go.
Bougie chefs. There's a restaurant on the side of the main stage that you can sit at and watch your favorite artists.
So. Nice. Yeah, that's why my wife was so into it, because she's a big foodie and she loves live music and live bands and stuff. You know, just seeing some of these different bands. So she's like, we have to go. I'm like, okay. It's just down the street. I mean, we can like walk to it. So it's like no big deal, but very looking forward to this. Thanks. So beachlifefestival.com and Petros is going to be very much involved. So if you're a big Petros
fan, I'll be there. There's no doubt.
Yeah. You go up to him, say
hi. I'm not the draw here. Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. Yeah. I mean, probably he's more popular.
Chevy Metal. Sure.
I do want to see. Who was you said from Men at Work? There's
Colin Hay.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I love Men at Work.
So who doesn't love that? Who doesn't love Land Down Under?
Yeah.
Who can it be now?
My father loved that song.
That's so good.
And I love that song. And then there's the other one too. There's a few, but what's
they
the other
really
one?
A lot of good ones. Yeah.
Oh,
he's got some killer solo stuff too. Overkill and the tune he did for
Overkill
the,
is really good.
For Scrubs, right? I cannot see.
You do pretty good.
Alan plays a guitar and everything.
You said I'd bring your guitar.
He owns every restaurant in the South Bay behind every concert, and he plays a guitar.
Awesome. So beachlifefestival.com, check it out. We got Petros here.
All right.
And we'll see what Alan, if he will test his knowledge, because he comes from a big USC
Alan
family.
Played football with me on our freshman team. He was a quarterback.
Oh, nice.
And then wasn't. They moved him to corner.
Okay.
And I had no hair on my legs in high school.
He was tall.
You're tall, though. Like, that'd be a rangy corner.
He made a play. He made a good play at Luzinger. I remember it was on the highlight tape. He tackled a guy, came out to the edge, and he made a nice play on the edge, kept containment.
I was a boy amongst men at that age.
But he was a baseball star at Peninsula High.
Okay. Yeah. Well, if you play baseball in college, then you got to be,
Right.
You're playing
football. And at Santa Clara.
What was Petros? Was he like big man on campus?
No.
Petros and I, we didn't hang out a lot early in high school, but Petros was good friends with all the football guys, which were some of my friends, but everybody knew the Papadakis brothers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, brother was a big deal.
They were celebrity early on.
My older brother was a big deal. I was like Gollum, kind of walking behind him. I really was. He was a huge... Humble. I became a good football player later in high school.
You crushed it junior and senior year of high school.
My junior year.
You were like the star.
I didn't play. I got hurt. I played like three games, and then I played my senior year. They moved me to tailback, and I ran for a bunch of yards, and then I went to college. I had no business being there.
That was funny. When people think about Petros, like, Petros was very fast, like especially straight line speed. Like you'd watch people would run. You're a bigger guy, but man, you were speedy.
Yeah, that happened. I don't know why, because I didn't work on it. It happened when I was like between my junior and senior year. I started there was a different gear, and I ran track at Peninsula, and I made it pretty far. I set some records that some kid that was like 100 pounds lighter than me broke a few years back. Which I think should be an asterisk of 100
pounds. Yeah, 100 pounds difference.
But,
that's a lot.
Yeah, no, I had a high school. Come on, ask me about what do you want to know? Come on. We want to talk about me playing football in high school, Ryan.
Well, I don't know if you're in the radio in LA in the market.
I am.
So you probably talk about USC every once in a while.
You think so, Ryan? Are you not aware of my work?
You've had me on.
Yes, I have.
During some trying times. There have been several trying times.
For the last decade, really.
What? I mean, just this last 6 months or so.
I mean, I used to be embarrassed when they'd be like, Matt Barkley's deflating balls. You know, I mean, I used to be embarrassed when they when they lie washed that guy out of being a manager and said he deflated the balls,
right,
and then blamed some poor kid and erased him from everybody's memory and paid him to go away. You know, that kind of stuff. Those controversies used to be really embarrassing. Changing jerseys on a guy, you know, for special teams and, you know, just stupid John Baxter stuff like that. That used to be embarrassing. I long for those days. I long for a drunk Steve Sarkisian stumbling around the South Bay. These days are dark, and it's way beyond the athletic department, really. Let's be honest. You know, it came in under Max Nikias's real thirst for money.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, you know, that was the difference. You know, the USC's always been about money, and there's always been rich people involved with USC. Alan comes from a USC family. They're humble people like mine, but there are very rich people involved with USC. Yes. I mean, you know, stupid money.
Yeah.
You know, USC vomits money when it gets sick. You know, I mean, there's millionaires and there's billionaires, you know, and that's, you know, USC became so much more about billionaires under Max Nikias. They became, you know, for money against all other, you know, at the cost of everything else.
You know,
all the deans became fundraisers. They weren't educators anymore. They started ignoring the faculty, the staff, the students, the fans. You know, nobody mattered except for the people on the private jets. Now, of course, we all know that there's a hierarchy of money and private jets, and all these universities are building new buildings and worth a whole bunch of money. But something got perverted at SC in the last decade and a half when Sample stepped down. And I think what you see with the football program is just one other manifestation of that. And I think if you had a dean from, not that anybody would listen, but if you had like a dean from the dental school sit here, they'd probably tell you the same story about what happened to the dental school or the medical school or all that. So that's the real problem at USC. And it's really disturbing for a guy like me, you know, who credit, I have a lot of, you know, most of my career has been built because of the fact that I played at USC, and, you know, USC people wanted to interview me, and, you know, I was on the media spectrum in Los Angeles. And I hate to see it like this, you know, I really, cause the walls really are falling in.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how much money you have when nobody respects you.
It's weird and you mentioned the millionaires versus billionaires, because it's like that. Like Dr. Dre donates a building and his daughter gets in. I'm not saying that had any effect. It seemed like it would have,
I don't know, $70 million between friends.
Why are people surprised at that, though? Hasn't that been happening since day one of SC?
And then people are questioning it now. But I'm like, if I'm running a school and someone's going to donate a building, I'm probably going to let their kid into school. It's just, then they take it to the other level where these people that aren't billionaires, they're millionaires, but they want to get their kid into school. They can't afford to donate a building. So then they paid money to fake an athletic career and to get them into it. So it was kind of like rich people, but not rich enough people.
Right.
You know, it's this weird problem. Like they're rich, but they're not like,
I don't want to give them $20 million. So I'm going to give this guy $500,000 and we're going to skate and get the girl into school, and I'll play golf with Lynn Swan a couple times. You know that? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, and it's gross, you know, for those of us that, you know, I mean, people say weird things to me because of my dad's restaurant and because of the recruiting stuff and all that stuff. And I don't think they really understand, you know, anything about it. And it would be boring to get into and not really that exciting. But, you know, we're dancing around in aprons. You know, we're not, you know, we're not, you know, we're not part of the, we're not part of the Mike Hughes, public storage infrastructure of the university, you know, Ed Roski, you know, these, right. these donators, you know, while the best my dad could donate is, you know, throughout my life is racks of land for the players. You know, I mean, you know, we, you know, and I, you know, I do AM radio, you know, I mean, that's the thing I think about SC. They're just the gap between the haves and the have nots got so big. And they don't want to be questioned. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're really great, and you have all this corruption. If you're winning 12 games a year in the football right. world, you know, there, no one's going to scream and cry about it. But when you're putting the product they're putting out and acting above, above scrutiny and above having to answer for it, it's been a while and it's pretty frustrating.
Yeah. And it's hard too, because we talked about this before we went on the, you know, started recording. Is there so many good people that have come through and been a part of it? And, you know, the New York Times came out with an article the other day, like featuring USC, how this huge percentage of the, you know, people that go there come from like the most elite families in the country and stuff. And that was stuff, you know, when I moved out here from the East Coast, like we didn't have any money. I had just student loans up the butt. I did work study. I never spent money. I just went to the, you know, the center to go get food every day. Didn't have a car.
Cafe 84.
I was at College Uni, so it was EVK. Oh, we would go there a lot. Gross. Yeah. But I would eat like every meal there. Like I remember using a whole semester. I never spent a dollar because I just didn't, you know, I didn't have money. But you were around people that would have BMWs sure. and all that stuff.
There's always been Biff like, and Buffy on the row. That's fine. But you don't want the university president to be one of, to want to be Biff or Buffy.
Yeah.
And, that guy has to be an administrator, not just a fundraiser. Same thing with our athletic director. You know, that guy has to be an administrator. You know, I want a guy with a 40-inch waist and Dockers that knows how to hire and fire people.
Yeah.
These guys are skinny waisted, but when Pat Hayden was humiliated and had to step down, I suggested they hire Del Conte, who was at TCU. Where's he at now? Texas. They're yeah. thriving. I suggested they hire Greg Byrne, who was at Arizona. Where's he at now? Alabama. They're thriving, obviously. Yeah. So, you know, and what does USC do? They're just afraid. You know, there's a lot of old guard at USC that clings to power. They don't want to let go of it. You know, we have 60-some people on the board. That's ridiculous. You yeah. can't have that. You can't have leadership when the board's for sale. You know, the whole thing is just there's so much to be done that I just don't know if the new president can really make marked change, especially when Max Nikias is still on campus in an office. You know, Pat Hayden's still running around, you know, among the upper echelon of USC swells, and they laugh at us. It's really sad to me, to be honest.
Do you think Carol Folt can come in and?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if Max Nikias, how much influence he still has. I mean, it's awful hard to get anything done with a board of 60 people.
Yeah.
With all kinds of different.
She had to deal with that at, like, it was a different, it's not, I didn't call it a board. I forget what they call it at North Carolina. It was more political, yeah. I think, at
the
North
Carolina.
The
board of colonials.
Yeah. But it was more of a political thing, I think, there. And they had the whole statue.
Right,
you
right.
know. And it's curious to see, but. You're pretty much next in line to be the athletic director.
No, not quite. No.
Yes.
Because you have to, since 1984.
I would be a terrible hire. So would my father. So would anybody that I know, other than the people I suggested who wouldn't take the job now. Because we're not administrators.
Yeah.
I don't hire and fire coaches. You know, I don't deal with Title IX. I don't, neither does Lynn Swan, right. neither does Pat Hayden. That's not what those people do. That's not what they did. And whoever's under him isn't doing the job either. You know, they need, every other place I go around the country, I work in colleges.
Yeah.
People turn over. They change, you know, they move with the times. They, you know, they're not obsessed with this old guard or clinging to the past glory. You know, they move on. Look at Oklahoma, for God's sakes. And what they've become just by moving on
yeah.
and being on the same page. You know, we don't have that. We don't have anything close to that.
So there, the hope is that Carol Folt comes in and you kind of make that change. But it's been since 1984, I believe, since USC had like hired
an outsider.
Yeah, like someone that was, there was actually an athletic director before. Like they've just kept going back to football players and
it's, fundraisers.
It's so weird. And you hire Lynn Swann to be a fundraiser. No one wants to give him money now because nobody likes him anymore. It's just the weirdest thing. And then he comes out. I mean, did you read his statement? After
yes. It's got to say, who's
tone deaf or
who's advising it? These people? I don't know where to start. You know, I don't know where to start or how to unpack it anymore. I really don't. Because I hate to be so negative about it. Cause like you said, you know, I look at our conference. You know, much more than USC, I'm a proponent of West Coast football.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's look at the Pac-12 real quick. Alan loves this. Washington's in a renaissance. They have one of the best coaches, top five in the country. Washington State's never been better than they are right now. Oregon State is Oregon State. Oregon's doing fine. Yeah. They have the best quarterback in the country.
The top recruiting class.
Cal's arrow is pointing up. Stanford's never been better. They win 9-10 games a year under David Shaw. Utah's a great program. Colorado's different than they used to be. The Arizonas are whatever. UCLA's pointing up. What's wrong with the Pac-12? Us!
Yeah.
That's the, I mean, it's the worst thing. I mean, without USC, the West Coast has nothing.
Yeah.
And we're perceived to be terrible. You know, USC has to be the brand conference. I mean, the brand for the conference. And man, they failed miserably for a while. And Sam Darnold was some nice cologne for a couple years, but even when he got on the field against Ohio State and Alabama, our lines just got pushed off the ball grossly.
Yeah.
So
a lot of the fans.
See, I went on your podcast and I said, we and us.
Nice.
Just for you, just because we all.
I don't do that, but it's fine.
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
From an outsider perspective, the world has changed. I think you can safely say that money runs college football in an indirect way.
Well, sure. No, in a completely direct way. It's a gigantic.
Right?
It's,
I mean, money runs the world in a sense, but it's more directly involved with amateur sports now. How do you continue to run a successful program and not be driven by the money and the fundraising?
Oh, the money drives the football program.
Yeah.
And the money drives the university.
But it's a business now.
That's fine because the athletic department runs on a separate endowment. You know, everything like when they say, wow, they built this big building. Wow, they're given 85 scholarships. That all runs itself. And then the athletic department will subsidize other stuff in the university. What's happened now, and it was different. That was a really great, it's a great question from when I started. But now, because I never used to think we should even pay the college athletes, you know, because you're getting a free education. If you take advantage of it, obviously great things can happen. All you have to do at SC is show up to class, you know, and good things happen for you in your life. It's the truth. But now, because of, and you understand this very well, because of live streaming and all that, because of live sports being one of the only things that people don't want to DVR.
Right.
They want to watch it live. Right. That's shot the commercial revenue through the roof. And now, a multi-million dollar industry is a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
You know, the Laker TV deal is billions of dollars. The Clipper TV deal, the MLS TV deal is billions of dollars. And now they're just flush with cash. And we got to find a way to compensate the players.
You can't. The players can't even benefit from their own likeness. So they couldn't sign an autograph and get anything for that. But like Lynn Swann can fly across the country and sign autographs for money and stuff. And the players that basically pay his salary they can't.
And the truth is there's a tremendous amount of incongruity even at when it was a multi-million dollar industry. Because what you have is, you know, the business, which is tied up in our institutions of higher education, which also are like a business. I mean, when you see how much college costs now, it's mind boggling to me. It's just absolutely blows me away.
Yeah.
And it all does kind of fit together. And that's the weird complexity of the USC situation is there's so many embarrassing bad stories and they all fit together like a puzzle.
Yeah.
And when you go way up high and look at the puzzle, you know, what's the problem?
Yeah.
It's probably greed.
Yeah. And Alan, part of the problem too is, you know, Petros talked about the West Coast football and USC being bad. The Pac-12, the money that they're getting compared to their counterparts in the SEC and the Big Ten, it's significant. You're talking $10, $20, $30 million a year per team. And now there's going to be more opportunities to put that money back into programs. And it's going to make the Pac-12, in my opinion, it's going to separate a little bit where it's like a haves and haves nots.
Yeah, it's bad because it's like when I first thought of it, somebody explained it really well. It was Canzano, the Oregon.
Oh, yeah.
But,
he's great.
Like, if Oregon's making $10 million a year less just because of the TV deal that the Pac-12 has, it's bad. And they're making $10 million less than Mississippi State, say. Okay, $10 million less. They're making $60, $70 million. Okay, but in 10 years, that's $100 million more that Mississippi State has. In 10 years, you're $100 million behind your contemporary in another conference. And that's right. We're going to become Sacramento State.
Yeah.
that's scary. That's really scary.
Because there's new compensation that they're looking at that they could do. You know, so there's more ways. And the, you know, just having a recruiting support staff, there's all these people you can hire now. There's only 10 assistants you can have on your football team, but you can have these enormous, you know, support staffs. USC has like a couple of people.
Way behind.
Yeah, they're way, way behind. And so
I wonder why.
What do you think about the team, Petros, itself? Like, I know you, I think you went out to a practice. You know, Graham Harrell's coming in.
I did a game last year.
Yeah.
I haven't been to a practice.
Oh, you haven't gone to a spring one this
no,
year?
No, I'm okay. pretty sure I'd be shot or something. or at least rubber bullets. You know, I don't know. I like Graham Harrell. I've met him once or twice, and I think just by walking on campus, he's automatically the coach with more leverage than anybody else on campus because he's never worked with Clay Helton before. Any of the guys that have been with Clay Helton have a pretty bad reputation at this point just because of what's transpired in the last couple of years. And just the lack of discipline, I think, is what really frightens people. But, you know, all the stuff they were going to say this spring, I could have predicted before the spring even started. You know, the defense is flying around. We've really simplified the offense. Man, JT Daniels looks great. You know, all that stuff that, you know, frankly, I don't really believe anymore. And I don't think going out to practice would change my opinion, to be honest. But I should go out to practice. But I don't really, I'm pretty disheartened, to be honest, just with the way, you know, everything's played out. And I'd probably rather just go over to Westwood and watch them do their thing and stretch and do all the weird plyometrics that Chip Kelly has them doing. But hey, I hope USC turns it around. I hope that because of the talent they have, they can always, you know, win 9-10 games. It's never beyond the reasonable, analysts' mindset that they could, you know, have success because they've done that in the past. That being said, the way they start the season,
tough 6-game stretch early.
And look, I didn't really see much from JT Daniels to warrant what the hype that he got coming in. And I really thought he should have lost his job midseason. And that didn't happen. And there's all kinds of rumors as to why. You know, that stuff really frustrates me. So if they're really having an open quarterback competition, I applaud them. You know, if they're really trying to work on being physical, you know, this saying you want to be physical to the media and clapping out of every heavy, slightly heavy box immediately the second you see it is not being physical. You know, you run into that and you show them your dominance because you're USC and you're a bunch of 5-star recruits and you should be able to run those people over. That's not USC anymore.
Yeah.
So, and I don't think, I just don't see that changing under this regime.
One last thing for you, the strength and conditioning coaches talk about that. We get it a lot. People ask me, like, you know, because of injuries or whatever, like Ivan Lewis was around for a long time. He left and became the strength and conditioning coach for the Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll. They bring Aaron Osmus back, who was around the program before. A lot of talk about, you know, what the strength and conditioning program means. What are your thoughts on that and what USC's kind of done?
They need to hire outsiders. You know, stop hiring people that are connected to people that you know. Hire outsiders that are great at their job from other places that can help you evolve. And they're not doing that. You know, I mean, I think it's fair to say that, you know, USC players are coming in at the same level that all these other big recruits are coming in at other places and top to bottom are not really developing in the same way. You know, we see a guy like Juju Smith have a great freshman year and then he kind of plateaus and then he gets to the NFL, starts taking to coaches and now he's an elite NFL receiver.
Yeah.
You know, and that's just one example that we could go on and on and on about. So, and what does that point to? It points to coaching. You know, how much is Nick Saban and all his assistants getting paid? Compare that to USC. Giant gap. You know, these things, they're glaring and they're not going to change until they change.
Yeah.
I think everybody should come to Beach Life and
Come on out to Beach Life.
Talk over all these big world issues, but have a few beers and listen to some music.
So you're saying
good thing we got to the beach festival first, huh?
Yeah, right? That's good. Well, there was two things we wanted to talk about. That's good.
The South Bay is SC. It's safe to say, whether I'm part of that crew or not, that the South Bay is SC.
Don't you guys have like Santa Clara reunion parties and standing room or anything?
Not so much. Maybe what we'll do is we'll set up a little SC couch area and then you guys can all chat about that.
That's cool. You can set up a podcast.
Yeah, you want to set up a podcast?
Yeah, like, what's it called? Like Pitch Perfect. You could just set up your computer and just start calling the action.
That's awesome. We should. My wife would love that. We could do that. Maybe we'd do a little. Yeah. We would love to do it. We'll get Mark McGrath to come on because he's a USC guy.
Yeah. We'll do it right next to the beer tent. And I know people that are setting up the site plan. So I'll Come well, on we'll, in and do the podcast there, man.
That we'll have to workshop that. But yeah, so
it's
come
another
by
thing for Alan to do.
If you want Petros's autograph, yeah, come down. Petros
will
be there.
That's a popular. Yeah.
Just you know, talk to him, bring him memorabilia, your number 35 jersey or something. He'll come sign it for you.
Yeah.
There's a lot of those in circulation.
Yeah. Can Lynn Swan do fundraising for Beach Life?
I don't think
he could, but he won't.
I don't think he'd want.
I don't know. That was a joke.
Yeah.
No, let's call him.
We give a call.
Hit him up. Do you have a phone here?
Yeah.
See, that's 213-740.
Something. You know, it's weird. There's no phone in here. Like, you just have your cell phone, you know? Like, there's no, like, I don't have, like, an office line in here. So it's kind of.
No landlines.
It's weird. Yeah. It's like, I don't know.
There may be a body buried in this building somewhere.
Yeah.
Which is okay. It makes it exciting.
Yes. I love that. It's funny. We talked about Adam Carolla earlier. Some people are very like hyper-vigilant. Like they walk in and they notice everything. Petros is one of those guys. Like he'll notice like the shape of your head or the whatever. Like you notice these things. It's funny. Like you come in and you're like, oh, this is a post-apocalyptic building and blah, blah. It was just funny.
That's
part of your like personality is like you noticing things and being able to make quick comments and funny. Like that part of it makes what you do on the radio funny. You know?
Thank you, Ryan.
Is that hypervigilance? Is that how you describe that?
Like, I don't know.
But you know, like, oh, Ryan, you told me before, like,
there's a downside to being the way I am as well. I just want you to know that.
our mutual friend, Dan Wyke. Yeah. So I think you were calling me like, I think you said I had sharp features or something.
Yes.
And he thought, you said I had shark, like shark face or something. So he was calling it like shark face for a while. I don't know. But
see, that's kind of weird.
Sharp features.
Yeah, but it's like sharp features. Like he just notices stuff.
Very in tune.
Yeah, very much. All right. Well, thank you guys so much.
I try to blunt it, but
yeah,
it's hard. No. We'll see you at Beach Life, everybody.
Beach Life. Make sure you go to beachlifefestival.com. That's Alan Sanford. Legend here in the South Bay.
Go eat at Rockefeller.
Yeah, Rockefeller. St. Rock, right near my house. Come by. You know, they have...
Catch a Pete Yorn show.
Yeah, there's so much cool stuff going on there. The Spasmatics, whatever you want to see. I think the Dan Band, I've seen them at St. Rock. They're pretty funny. Check it out. Of course, follow Petros on Twitter or go to, you know, PMS.com. Not PMS.com.
AmFiSoDLASports.com/PMS for the podcast.
Nice.
Or on any podcast platform.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you. Fight on.
Thanks so much.
All right. Thanks, guys, listening to the Peristyle Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.
You've been listening to the Peristyle Podcast presented by USCFootball.com. Be sure to tune in next week for the latest news on Trojan football and recruiting. Don't forget, you can automatically download the podcast directly to your smartphone or tablet for free. Just click the iTunes link on peristylepodcast.com or search for Peristyle Podcast at the iTunes Music Store.